I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk tarot reading,
Quiet on Sec documentary,
and Todrick Hall's latest scam.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Yeah! Our 75th episode.
What a crowd.
We did it, baby.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah.
You fucking wouldn't.
I'll be in the back making myself small.
Yeah. Although, having said that, you would win if you were
so. Oh, yeah. I would absolutely go so hard. Yes. Find strength I didn't know I had.
I feel like you would be really good. Like, you would keep yourself hidden, especially at the start, and then you just sort of appear one day and go rogue.
Absolutely. And I'm like, oh, I count, like, how many people have already been killed with the thing.
Yeah.
When it's down to the final few.
You'd be the Peter with the cake.
The cake.
Artistry.
Is it cake?
One of the best moments in cinema.
I saw an interview with him talking about it, being like, I just remember thinking it was so bizarre because he lived in like the poorest district where people could barely even afford bread, and yet he was a connoisseur at like cake decorating.
I know.
Yeah, he's finding the plot holes.
Yeah. And also, just how did he apply that? Like, even if we're going to believe that he has the skills to paint like that, how are you gonna do it on yourself? Like,
yeah,
it's just insane.
And just lay there. And the way he grabs her and it's like it's so funny, it's so beautiful. And I love Hunger Games.
I watch it too.
Again and again. And to be fair, the second one, that's a real comfort movie.
Catching Fire is amazing.
Yes.
And I controversially really like Mockingjay Part One. I think it's a great action movie.
It is.
It's like a real good political thriller kind of thing. And I feel like Mockingjay Part 2 has a lot of the crap parts of the book.
Yeah.
Because the book is horrendous.
I remember thinking,
I only read the very first one.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I want to be a writer.
100%. I feel like, the second and the third books weren't great. And it was one of those occasions where I'm like, the movie's better than the book.
Yeah.
Oh, that rarely ever happens.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, Suzanne Collins has like admitted that, I think Hunger Games, the first one, was just meant to be like a standalone. And then like the publishers were like, this is great, you should make this into a series. So she's like, all right, I'll make it into a trilogy or whatever. And so she wrote the second one. But then I think by Mockingjay, the third one, she was like, I was like full on in like a depressive spiral. And I was just like not in the mood to create. And like you can really feel it in the book because it just feels very like, I know it is about war and about how people are changed and changed.
Kills Prim like it's nothing.
Yeah. It just felt like a desecration of the whole point of this series. But I suppose that's war.
I guess that's life.
Yeah.
What's the point?
What's the fucking point? It's all a Hunger Game anyway, guys. Yeah.
And for that, Suzanne Collins, we say kudos, mama. Thanks for spilling.
Talking about Drag Race adjacent people.
Yes.
Todrick Hall has been embroiled in his latest scandal after starting a GoFundMe for his family. And then, you know, saying, you know, I'm doing this GoFundMe for my family because it's
Was it a fire or something?
Yeah, it's a house fire. It's been really tough because of the writer's strike and post-pandemic. I'm still financially recovering. And then this TikToker had the tea with Todrick's birthday party. which would have cost,
like, just a couple days later.
Yeah, like a week later or so. He has his birthday party in his house. He has a walk-in wardrobe the size of most people's apartments.
Yeah. And at this party, you know, he had everything. It was
like a petting zoo.
Yeah, there was like performers and
catering.
Yeah, it was like a full-on million-dollar spectacle kind of thing. And it's
how are people this fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, we can see you.
Yeah.
And it's like you're prioritizing having a lavish birthday party instead of helping your family. Like, the party would have cost like a bit more than what he was trying to fundraise. And I mean, that alone is crazy.
I just think it's like, it's so interesting to me because Todrick Hall's been called out before for like lying and bad behavior and stuff like that. I find liars so fascinating.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to say funny. And I was like, me too.
They're so funny too. Because you're just like, and they just, you just see them like, they lie about stuff that you're like, we know this is a lie.
Yeah.
Like I'll talk to a pathological liar and just be like, I'm looking, and I think you can see that I know. And we're playing this game.
Yeah.
And it's so wild. It's for the thrill
of it. There's a sense of audacity to it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just love that he's like doubling down on this brand of being like, I'm not going to pay my dancers. I'll start a GoFundMe so that you guys can pay my dancers. I'm not going to help my family. I'll start a GoFundMe so that you can help my family. It's like...
Now, do people who work at GoFundMe have seen some shit?
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God.
Like, the things people try to fundraise.
It's like there are people out there on GoFundMe being like, hey, I need to buy nappies. And I have nothing. And then there's Todrick Hall being like, oh, I do have a gorgeous, gorgeous birthday party I've been thinking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Furthermore, sorry, I just remembered something. He was making a video wearing a stack of Cartier bracelets. The Cartier Love bracelets, which sell for, I think, $6,000 or $7,000 each.
Come the
Wait,
fuck
what's
on.
Love? Like Cartier Zama La Jacoba?
No, Cartier. Cartier.
Oh, Cartier. I think you meant Cartier from Drag Race.
Oh my God. She would not be selling bracelets for that much. Oh my God. $6 maybe.
Yeah, like little like Russian, like, you know, it's got the like sickle and the like.
And then just like the Cartier Love bracelet is the opposite of capitalism. Yeah. Sorry, not communism. Sorry. It's like you put this bracelet on and you literally can't take it off. You know, it comes with a little screwdriver.
Oh my fucking God. Yeah. And is it, did he have a stack of them?
Wait, what? Yeah. It's like chastity. It's like you're in for good.
Basically, so it opens wide enough that you can put it around your wrist, but then use a little screwdriver to tighten it shut. And then to take it off, you have to like unscrew it. Which is the whole appeal because, like, love is forever. And if I was in a position to have one of those bracelets, maybe I would.
Well, I was just thinking, that sounds cute.
But then I'm like, oh, well, I would probably not film myself talking about how I have no money to support my family while I'm wearing four of them.
People just have to, like, maybe there's a few items and possessions that people can, like, hold dear to them. But at a certain point, if you have to turn to GoFundMe or whatever,
sell
some stuff if you want to help your family
100%.
Out.
100%.
And, like, in the grand scheme of things, I think he was asking for, like, 10 grand. It's like, surely that to you is chump change.
That's what? Two of those bracelets.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Give me a bracelet.
Well, I do think it's going to be like we're kind of at an age now where we're seeing those people who are massive on YouTube sort of lose that following. Like, what's Zoella doing?
Is she making? Oh my God, I forgot about Zoella.
Truly, and
wait,
like,
was she makeup?
Yeah, she was like the girl. She was all those like 2012, 2014.
Is she the one that also did like the like powder challenge or like the cinnamon challenge and that kind of shit?
Oh, she probably did that shit too.
Yeah,
I wasn't much of a Zoella girl actually. The person that I was obsessed with was Charlie is so cool, like, which is so lame.
I loved him as well.
Yeah. Well, now did you know that Charlie's trans? She's come out as a trans woman.
Oh, I had
as
no
a
idea.
Chick, and now as a chick, she's a chick now.
Yeah, I'm not a woman. I'm a chick.
Charlie's a chick.
Love that. I also love Charlie as a girl's name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so great. Yeah. It's one of the cutest names.
Thanks.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
But they're like, all these people who are making so much money, it must be such a shock to the system when it just, when you're just not relevant anymore. Like,
yeah.
And they're just losing it. Like, especially if they were so, they weren't forward thinking. Like, I feel like Todrick Hall had so many amazing videos, but he didn't really cultivate sort of a brand that could keep going or like that could withstand the trials of aging.
Yeah.
And also, like, just looping back to his fundraising, like, just get one paid partnership.
Yeah.
You know, like he'd have so many of those. And like people with a YouTube presence are still making money if people are playing those videos. And I know people are.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Beauty and the Beat. I'm still watching that regularly. I love that video so much.
Like in Todrick Hall, or just the actual.
That's a Todrick Hall video, isn't it? Beauty and the Beat?
Yeah.
Yes. He does a cover of the Justin Bieber.
No. That's very funny.
Oh, is it a Disney mashup?
It's Beauty and the Beast. What do they say? Instead of bonjour, it's everybody going, what's good?
Oh,
what's good?
Yeah. It is funny. Yeah. But also, I can't with Disney gays. Ah! I just can't.
Oh, have you seen the latest problematic Harry Potter fan gays?
No, fuck it.
I mean, what fresh hell is happening?
What a mouthful.
Oh, my God. So I saw it on Instagram. They were...
Oh, I did see them. It's like a real... It's like the widest couple you've ever seen.
Yeah, and they're like, one of us is a Slytherin and one of us is a Hufflepuff. Whatever the fuck. And we unequivocally stand with J.K. Rowling, they said in this Twitter post.
Not the pick me Harry Potter gays. Yeah. Fuck off.
Jesus Christ. Actually, on that note, I do need to follow on from last week. I brought up J.K. Rowling, but I couldn't find what exactly it was that she's done. She's basically been called out for possibly violating Scottish hate crime laws. And then
she is a hate crime.
Yeah. And then her response was, take me, basically. It was just like, fight me, police.
Yeah. She was like, I would, if this is a hate crime, then come and arrest me.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of people being like, ACAB, except.
Yeah. If you will arrest JK, then I'll be down for it.
But also, like, stop wasting police resources. Yeah. They have to, like, solve crime and help people who are in danger.
How else is the UK police department going to take on Sam Kerr in the upcoming stupid white bastard trial? I mean, they're at capacity.
I'm very busy.
I am one to get stoned and dip back into the Harry Potter franchise. And it is a comfort movie, of course. I loved it when I was a kid. But it is so pro-cop, it's insane. Like, Harry becomes a cop, or as a cop. Azkaban is fucking worse than Guantanamo. Yeah. They're living in some abandoned dungeon castle, getting their souls sucked out of them. Slavery's in there. And the whole part where the elves are like, we like being slaves. And they're annoyed at Hermione for trying to get them paid.
Oh, yeah. Hermione basically is just like, why don't we give them rights and, like, give them a union? And it's like, everyone being like, Hermione, you fucking dweeb. Like,
oh my God. Get off. But Hermione. Yeah.
Guys, mind you, I've not seen any of this.
Well, yeah,
ever.
Oh my God. Have you never watched the movie?
No. Like, I mean, you're all aware, like, I wasn't allowed to. Yeah. But then even after, I was like, well, I'm kind of like a bit old for this type of movie.
Totally.
And I went on a date with a girl who was
super obsessed.
Super obsessed with Harry Potter, super obsessed with all things Disney. But yeah, it just didn't work out. And
I wonder why.
I wonder why as well.
It is one of those, like, unfortunate things where it's like, it caught our generation at a particular time that was, like, developmental. And it's like, I can obviously never forget those memories and that impact that it has had on me. I can absolutely not throw money at that series in any way going forward to try and not, you know, help J.K. Rowling get out of Scottish prison. But, like, I can't, like, unlove the things that I loved. You know, no, I can just look at it as a current person with a critical eye and be like, these things are fucked. I don't stand by anything that she stands for. Yeah. But, you know, that was my childhood. Like, fuck. Mm,
yeah. And the message was love.
Yeah.
Like, love wins all.
She'd be a fucking Umbridge.
And also, slavery is great.
Yeah. I think that was the original title of the third book, actually. Yeah.
Oh, she's turned into Rita Skeeter herself and Umbridge. Yeah. Like, come on.
Truly.
But it is very funny. She accidentally used they, them pronouns for her dog because it made grammatical sense, even though she's been the biggest naysayer.
Yes.
Of any kind of pronouns. She hates them. She tweeted saying, we did an Easter egg hunt and somebody ate an Easter egg that wasn't theirs.
Yes.
So funny. Because she's a stupid bitch.
And also, have you seen the resurgence of videos where people are like asking right-wing type people, what are your pronouns? And they're like, I have none. And then they're like, so you're not he, him? And then they're scrambling like, no, I am he, him. But like, I don't have pronouns.
Yeah. It's fun when you call them on their game. In response to J.K. Rowling, Shea Coulee from Drag Race subtweeted her and was like, I'm so fucking sick of this idiot's politics. Someone needs to put him in prison, blah, blah, blah. And was like using he, him pronouns, J.K. Rowling sort of thing. And then like some people were like, I don't know that you should use like misgendering as a way to like upset people. Mm. But then Shay was like, no, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, they're not going to learn unless they realize that they don't like it.
Totally. Yeah.
And just imagine being so bothered by other people's A, pronouns and B, like body.
Oh my God. Literally, yeah, fuck like, off, you're a freak. Like, you're a yeah. freak.
Yeah, like, stop thinking about people's bodies.
Invasive.
Well, talking about invasive people and bodies, have you heard about fucking Diddy?
Where is he?
He's escaped to a tropical island in time for his 17 million properties getting raided.
And there's going to be like a huge doco coming out. 50 Cent is obsessed with it. He can't stop tweeting and Instagramming about it.
Last year there was Cassie, who's Diddy's ex, had a lawsuit against him that settled out of court. And there wasn't really like much discussion about it because I guess she just thought it was best to settle out of court.
Mm.
Power to her, she probably got that money. But now he's getting dragged anyways and everything will be exposed, but I don't know any details.
So wow.
Beyond that.
What are the rumors like?
So allegedly allegedly he was complicit in sexually assaulting people or like coercing people into sexual favors to get a reward, whether that was like money or, you know, a title or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really intense bullying, like mad power dynamics and just like proper narcissistic psycho behavior.
Well, running away is a really good omen.
Yeah, that's how you know that they've done nothing wrong. Like whenever someone's running away, you're like, yeah. That's a good person.
I saw someone post this footage and it was like, is this Diddy? And it was like him like on like a bicycle, like in like Sweden or something like that.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know if it was him or it's just someone that looked like him. But
yeah,
like...
or like maybe just an old photo.
Yeah. But I feel like we're just brain fried at the moment about like missing celebs because of the Kate Middleton thing.
Mm. Oh my God, totally.
Did you watch the tarot video that I sent you?
Wait, which one was that?
Guys, you need to watch it.
Wait, wait, did you say it? Wait, on TikTok? Wait.
No, in our chat on Insta.
Oh my God.
Oh no, oh I missed that
I feel
one.
Like I did. Yeah. Wait, what is she saying it?
Well, it's about this thing. There's this phenomenon happening where all these tarot readers and psychics are coming up with the same cards repeatedly. Like no matter how many times they shuffle,
yes,
they
I
keep
did
coming
this.
Up to the same thing.
Yeah, I missed it.
But basically it's saying like, it's like the Ten of Swords or something like that.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
And it's there's all these particular arrangements that keep happening when they're inquiring about
Diddy.
Kate.
Did he? Is he dead?
Fuck
about Kate?
Oh my God.
Jesus. Yeah.
It was so, when you sent me that, it was so spooky. Yeah. It's also like my TikTok For You page at the moment is full of horoscopes and tarot cards, but also because we're in Mercury retrograde and because
it's eclipse season.
They're all just baiting me. Like I got sent one today that was like, if you have any Libra or Capricorn or like if you have a cardinal placement, April 8th is the beginning of the rest of your life. And I'm like,
oh my God, is that fucking, today?
Yes, that's today. I was like lying back, like double chin scrolling, just being like, I can tell you right now it's not.
Yeah.
It's so, like, they're so, like, there's a genre, like, I don't know fucking shit about astrology. I know, like, basic shit, the top layer, but there's so much stuff on there where you're like, if you had caught me a year ago, I would have been like, oh my God, what's going to happen? But now I'm like, no, there's so many people out there baiting, being like, if you are a Scorpio, someone is betraying you. Like, and they get so many likes and shares because everyone's like, yes, oh my God, this is so scary. This is totally happening. And it's like,
and statistically, you know, a 12th of the population roughly is a Scorpio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So a lot of people will relate.
Yeah.
Someone probably is betraying you.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, I find it so funny that like tarot stuff as well, where they'll be like, if you're seeing this on this day, and I have to watch it, I'm like, okay, what is it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, you're gonna get hit by a car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hope the payout is good. I hope they have that good insurance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I hope my outfit's nice.
Yeah. I hope there's CCTV.
Yeah. 100%. I've also, most of my TikTok feed now, and I'm sure for you guys as well, is just JoJo Siwa.
Yes.
Oh my
JoJo
God.
JoJo Siwa and JoJo Seesaw.
I need to get away from this. I have never felt so uncomfortable in my body in the recent times as when I was watching that music video.
Yeah.
and
that she self-funded. You know, yeah. Like the studio or the label that she's with said, "No, honey, we're not."
And we don't want to be attached. I wouldn't want to be attached to that. I don't even want to be a lesbian anymore.
The dancing wasn't even that great.
The dancing is particularly bad.
And yeah. Like the pretend fucking.
Yeah.
It's just so jarring for JoJo to go.
Like the dramaturgy of the scissoring. It was so off.
And that's coming from Charlie.
It just feels like she's rushed in to have this moment where she doesn't. I don't think she actually feels like, because she keeps comparing herself to Miley Cyrus.
She called herself the voice of a generation. Do you see that video where she's like, "What I'm doing, no one has done before."
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And the poor interviewer, he was like trying to laugh, like trying to suppress his laugh.
Yeah. She said, "This is the first time anyone's done gay pop."
Yeah.
And no one's had a transformation as big as this. It's like, babe, you went from like hot pink to black, but everything else is the same.
She just went monochrome.
And then also the other thing, like having been on TikTok and knowing about Avery and then being like, "Is this song about Avery?"
Oh,
Remember that?
Yes.
Wait, what's Avery?
And then
Avery?
Because she keeps bringing it up in interviews because there's that sound.
This is one of her exes who is like this big TikTok lesbian. Her name is Avery Cyrus.
No relation?
No relation.
No relation. Okay. She does these random videos. She always used to be on my For You page about 2 months ago and she'd be like, "Today I'm making marshmallows. Today I'm making fairy floss. And this fairy floss has a million layers." And then she'd be like, "Today I'm going to Iceland with a girl I met 24 hours ago." Just, she'd do these most chaotic, crazy vlogs. But her and JoJo were together. And then there was the whole thing of JoJo being like, "You know what I realized?" to her mom. "She was using me. And that's making me so fucking angry. She used me for likes and views." And her mom posted that on her own TikTok. Remember that?
Yeah, she was like, "I was tricked.
I was tricked."
I think she did say she was twicked, but we don't focus on that. We're not making fun of her speech impediment, but it was unfortunate that she said she was twicked.
I mean, I just think that ponytail's a little bit too tight. I think it's putting a strain on that frontal lobe.
Yeah,
is all I'll say.
And also, it's like whenever this happens, everyone's like, "JoJo Siwa's team needs to like do better," and I'm like, I don't think she has one.
No, it doesn't look like
her for dead.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad because it's like, I mean, she has so much money, she could do whatever the fuck she wants, but it is just like, it doesn't feel like she's telling everyone she's had this shift and she's had this revolution and change, and it's like, you clearly haven't.
Yeah.
Like even like with bangers and stuff like that, something changed in my, like there was a lot of rightful criticism of how what she was doing with that album and with the presentation of that album too, but you did see like there was a shift and she was hanging out, she was going out, whereas I feel like JoJo's just like telling us she's done, and we're like, no, we can actually tell that you're not doing any of this dark stuff, that you just want us to think you're kind of cool. It's also interesting because she doesn't have that many cultural references, because she's sitting here being like, "Oh, I'm doing gay pop." It's like, yeah, we did have Rush last year, but sure, you're the first one.
Yeah.
And I saw a video of Tegan and Sarah duetting her being like, "Oh, okay.
Yeah.
First time gay pop? Yeah, great. And then like her being asked like, "Oh, you're clearly doing a bit of Gene Simmons." And she goes, "Who's that?" And it's like, you're doing it. You're doing the kiss face. And it's like,
she's like, "I got black stickers on my face.
Oh, yes. My God.
What doesn't tell you I'm edgy?"
And then you're also like, these kids who've been in the limelight and on TV, I feel like they missed so much of like school, normal interaction, normal like going out and getting fucked up as soon as, you know, you legally can, and having those party experiences.
Yes.
Because the internet is so omnipresent. Like if you're somebody at the level of fame that JoJo is at, you can't just go to Yaya's. You can't just go to Circuit.
Yeah.
You can't just be like in those spaces having your like...
Yeah, you got a completely warped pubescence. Like it's just, it's so un... It's a marvel that anyone makes it out normal.
And it is kind of like, it's insane to watch and it is funny and it's like so, just perplexing the way she's handling this and the way she's carrying herself. I don't know how you guys are, I feel fucking sad for her because I'm like,
it's embarrassing.
It is. And I don't think people are cruel on the internet, full stop, but I'm just like, man, even the lesbians have turned on you. And we'll back the worst
of
them.
And it's also like, we have personally done so much embarrassing shit when we were her age. Yeah, but at least we didn't have the money to self-fund the worst music video I've seen.
Yes.
Years. My God.
Someone said, JoJo was like, "I feel like Renee Rapp has been giving white lesbians too much of a good rap this year. I'm going to set us back."
That is funny. I mean, what I think, it's like very Gabby Hanna, where I'm like, JoJo, get offline. Stop reading what you think, because you're just doing what you think everybody wants you to do.
Yeah, like get onto Book Talk, read a book.
Go to school, open the schools.
Relax.
Like be offline for like 10 days. Yeah,
we were talking about like kids having like a weird like Hollywood growing up. Mm. We've got to talk about Quiet on Set.
Oh, yes.
That finally has come out. I binged it yesterday, the whole thing, back to back.
Halfway through.
I will say that you probably could do like a Cliff Notes version of it.
Yeah, I've listened to like a few podcasts and stuff, so I felt like I knew a lot of the stuff already.
Yeah.
But seeing the documentary actually having visuals, for example, the sexual jokes that were on Nickelodeon shows that, like, I didn't watch a lot of Nickelodeon because I'd have to be at someone else's house. I couldn't watch it by myself. So I missed a lot of that stuff. But I always thought it was, like, so funny, so edgy, just, like, cool. I want to be, like, a teen who's like them. And then learning that Ariana Grande had to, like, pretend to squeeze a potato to get juice out of it. And it like, looked like she was
filleting it. And then, like, lying, like, her head off the bed, like, dangling water over herself, being like, I'm thirsty. And, like, it,
and screaming.
Yeah. And all this weird, like, foot fetish shit from Dan Schneider and, like, cum shot replicas that they're making on all these, like, young girls who are, like, wearing bikinis and stuff like this. And just weird, like, eating stuff where it'd be like people getting like
pickles
or like covered in licked off by dogs and weird
that is just so disgusting. It just made me uncomfortable even as an adult.
Like the moment when he was like the boy who was getting licked by the dogs was like, I don't like this. And the dares and stuff, it all like, it was such a power hungry person who just wanted to fucking rain terror. Like the way he treated his female riders. He would force them to like yell stuff out in the workroom and stuff like that. And then like this like dares on set thing, it's the same shit that they were doing on Fear Factor, which is for adults. And it also just creates this like tension of like every day they didn't know who was going to be picked on for these dares. Like and it creates this like fear, which then makes it easier to groom them and makes them easy pickings for the predators on set, of which there were many.
Well, that was what blew my mind. I had like a loose understanding of what had gone on with Dan Schneider, and I thought that a lot of the cases that had happened were all about him. But then I realized it was just like, he was just the head of this show and he was fucked in so many ways. But then there were literally, they were like, here are three other listed pedophiles that worked at Nickelodeon that like got arrested for like molesting children or doing horrible grooming shit on set. And I was like, it wasn't just like one bad seed. It was this ongoing systemic thing. I also found there was that scene where they were interviewing two women that worked on like early seasons of The Amanda Show. And they were the only women and they were literally hired under one man's salary and they split the salary between them and they didn't tell them that. And then basically when the women like went to the writers union and were like, I don't think this is fair. And the union was like, you have to pay them properly. Dan Schneider was like, whoever did this, you're fired. Like, you're out and you will never work again. But they, like, detailed, like, all the misogyny and uncomfortable sexualized stuff that went on in that writer's room that they didn't feel like they could comfortably bring to anyone and feel like they were heard. And one of the women said, like, if that was what it was like for an adult woman in this workplace, imagine what it's like for a child who doesn't even have the like wherewithal to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Let alone the confidence to stand up for themselves and feel safe and supported.
And then when you look at Amanda Bynes when she was on The Amanda Show and when she was at the height of her child star career, and she's such a switched on little girl. She's funny. She's doing a stand-up set. She's talking to a large audience confidently. And to now see her on TikTok talking about, you know, her podcast and the things she does, that I don't want to diminish in any way, but it definitely seems like something happened to her that damaged that confidence and joy of life that she was so overflowing with when she was little.
I mean, she's just a fucking star. Like some of those videos of her, like super young before any of celebrity had even happened to her, you just know that she's got it. Like she's so captivating and funny, and like that's how she ended up with The Amanda Show, because they were like, this girl's physical comedy is just unparalleled. Like she needs to be a star.
Yeah.
I had no idea how young she was when she started, because I was like, we didn't have, yeah, if you wanted to watch Nickelodeon, you had to have Cable, Foxtel. Yeah. And so we didn't have that growing up. And also my parents fucking hated American Children TV shows. Yeah. It feels like such a like an Australianism thing where like our generation of parents just fucking hate Americans so much. I still love Barney. Mm-hmm. And my parents are still like, those kids running around screaming. Yeah.
But also when you're a child, other children like seem older to you.
Yeah.
Like when you're like 10 and somebody's 14, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
That's an adult.
That's an adult. But yeah, I knew her from What a Girl Wants and She's the Man and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so seeing, and just, and also, yeah, like you're saying, just seeing how young she was and just being like, oh, it's pretty undeniable. Like,
yeah.
And then rather than finding her, and this is that fucked up like power dynamic thing, rather than Dan Schneider, you know, I guess discovering her and fostering her talent and being like, now off you go. I'm glad that we were able to give you a great career at Nickelodeon, fly off and achieve great things. He held on to her to the point where he was trying to get her emancipated so that he could control her even more.
Yeah, and keep his like hooks into her by starting this new show that he's the sort of main conduit and manager for. And that's what Brian Peck did to Drake Bell as well. It was the same thing. It was trying to like slowly out the parents until they're out of the picture, and then they have full access to these children. And it's just horrifying how like insidious that is,
and so heartbreaking. Like obviously the worst out of that situation was Drake, but I felt so fucking heartbroken for his dad too, who again and again tried to separate. But these people aren't just grooming the children, they're grooming the adults around them. They trick them, and they, you know, that's why people get fooled and they support their friends, because they're like, oh, no, he's always been nice to me. I can't imagine him doing this. That's why people like James Marsden write a letter of fucking support.
Yeah.
He's Ryan dead to Peck. Me.
Yeah. If he doesn't say something soon, he's done.
It's crazy. I mean, they did say in the doco, they were like, we don't know how much these people knew prior to writing the letters, because the court case obviously hadn't happened yet.
And also, when was this? You know, this wasn't like
2000. There is a small chance that it's kind of like they were mischaracterized.
True.
The situation to these people.
Maybe,
But nonetheless.
Do they know the charges though? Because I'm sorry, if either of you were getting taken to court and the charges were child grooming or pedophilia, you would not be getting a fucking letter of support from
me. So true.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't do that for a family member.
That's what I mean. It feels like, could there be a possibility that they just genuinely didn't know the charges?
Yeah. Like, yeah, they're like, oh, I'm going to court. And then it's like, oh, what for? And you're like, I can't speak about it right now. And like, if he's manipulating the parents and the child, he's definitely manipulating his friends.
Yeah.
It's just so fucked. And the amount of like fear that so many people, both children and adults, are having about like, I didn't want to speak up because I didn't want to like jeopardize my career or my child's career, and I didn't want to be like blacklisted from Hollywood and all this kind of stuff. And that just the imbalance of that, it's so unsettling.
Well, yeah. And they a lot of them signed NDAs too, so they can't come forward, because Jeanette McCurdy. I always go to say Jenna Malone, but that's, she's in
Jenna Maroney.
Jeanette McCurdy talked about that in I'm Glad My Mum's Dead, because she didn't sign it.
Yeah.
And she never says his name, but she says the creator a lot in her book. And it's clearly Dan Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the rumors are that people like Ariana and Miranda Cosgrove, I think they took like a payout.
Yeah.
Not to comment on this whole thing.
She was offered, Jeanette McCurdy like was offered 300 grand.
300K.
Yeah. And that's USD. Jeanette. So imagine what Ariana's getting.
And they also were offered, it was kind of murky when they were told what they were signing. They didn't make it seem like, oh, you can't talk about Dan Schneider's behavior ever or anything that happened on set.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we just don't want you to like spread any rumors about, or talk about what happens behind the scenes.
Oh,
here,
I could never sign that. No. I'm spreading rumors the minute I'm leaving the office.
Oh, literally, I'd be done for.
Yeah. I'm like gossiping as soon as I leave. I'm like hanging up. Guys, you won't believe this. Yeah. Voice memo.
And I also feel like there was probably an element at that time too of being like, yeah, but this is just how the business is run.
Yeah.
You know, not realizing that you don't have to have a fucking weird controlling pedo at the helm.
Well, it really was a thing back in the day, and I feel like it only really started to change with Me Too, where like fame was your key to being an asshole.
Yeah.
Well, now it's like, if you're famous, you also have to be nice and kind and generous. Yeah. But I think like growing up, my idea of fame was like, oh, famous people are allowed to be assholes.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, like people with money are allowed to like get away with stuff because that's how it works. And now we're like, oh, why is it like that? And yeah, we can change.
Yeah.
Speaking of assholes, can we talk about Rebel Wilson and Sacha Baron Cohen?
What is going on?
So I feel like it's that situation where, and correct me if I'm wrong, but she's got a memoir coming up.
She has a memoir coming up that has been pulled.
Yes.
Before it's like even like
come to
shelves.
So has it been like paused or is it like pulled from?
It's not on sale.
I feel like someone has sued her based on something that is in the book, and now they're like having to like get them back, re-edit them and republish them, because she was like full blown like, we're in the book too, a kind of like, this is happening, and now it's all just been halted.
It's got to be Sacha Baron Cohen, right?
I think so, because things start like, whenever there's a memoir, it's always like things come out from the memoir, like Rebel Wilson, I lost my virginity at 34 and that's totally fine. And that was like one of the things that they'd started to like give to press to create like buzz.
Tidbits, yeah.
And now that more people have probably gotten their like preview copies, I reckon they've picked up on other stuff that has since been removed. And Sacha Baron Cohen, interestingly enough, is also getting a divorce from his Australian wife, Isla Fisher.
Of Scooby-Doo 2 fame.
Mm-hmm. Who I will say, what a strange match.
Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Isla Fisher is funnier than Sacha Baron Cohen.
And hotter.
Oh, her work on Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Incredible. If I find you, I'll kill you. I think it's got to be Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, it absolutely is. And also, apparently she's like, he was an asshole to work with. And then he's like, she was an asshole to work with. And I'm like, both things can be true. Mm-hmm. And I'm 100% that both things are true. Like,
I'm sure both of them are. Yeah.
I've heard horrendous things about Rebel Wilson and the way that she treats
like what?
Her. Well, did you hear that thing about how she treated her surrogate? Like, she called her an it?
Oh, God. Fucking hell.
That person gave you a fucking baby.
Yeah, I know.
Could people be just, like, nice and regular for, like, 3 seconds? Can everybody just, like, treat each other with respect? Can we not fucking treat the women who give birth to these famous people's babies shit? Oh, my God. Well, I mean, look, Rebel works and works and works, which to me is the sign that people want to work with her. So maybe she's nice to the famous people.
What is she working on?
I guess she worked on Taika Waititi stuff. Like, she was in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, okay.
She's been in stuff. I'm always like, I'm such a little freak. I always look for people who work with the same people
again and again.
And try to like, I'm like, oh, you seem like you're fun to work with. Like, so people want you on set.
I see. So when we see like Wes Anderson having the same cast of 7 people, that's why.
Yeah.
And
Tim
Burton
only working with Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
Literally. Until the divorce.
Yeah.
And then with someone like Sacha Baron Cohen, I'm like, you see him pop up in other people's work occasionally, but he's usually doing his own shit.
Yeah. So he must be awful to work with.
A bit of a lone wolf.
He's also supported Amy Schumer when she said some of the most fucked things that a person can say about Israel and Palestinians. I mean, when you look back at Borat, and we all had a laugh, we all said my wife, but when you think about it, and when you think about how much he's supported the state of Israel, it's so Islamophobic and it's so dehumanizing. It just sort of amplifies the idea of what Islamic people are, what Arabs are to Israelis.
It's the summer heights of it all.
Yeah.
Like, it's like back then, you know, we were all rolling it as the height of comedy and all that kind of stuff. And we'd sort of just be like, oh, let's not look too deeply into this. Like, it's not blackface. It's not being insulting to women or gays or whatever it may be. It's just comedy. And if we don't roll with it, we're being like the narc and we're being the dweeb who's not fun and down to party. But it's like,
you can't comment on the racist thing by doing the racist thing.
And literally, there's so many videos I've watched breaking down all the things in his movies that are fueling hate and division and making him seem, as the characters he's playing, as somebody who's really backwards and who, like you said, is Arab, when that couldn't be further from the actual truth. Like, why are you making this shit up?
Well, good for Isla Fisher. I hope that she is
Their weird like tennis reveal. Did you see it?
They're like, after 20 years of playing this game called Love.
Like, no, like, stop.
Their couples announcement was them in like tennis outfits, like posing, being like,
we're calling it.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's so cringe.
I know.
And in light of the stuff happening with Rebel, it just seems like a weird, I don't know, it feels like he's snowballing into something. Like I'm scared of what his next piece of work is going to be.
Yeah.
Because it'll just be something fucking violent. Well, hopefully the tarot ladies start pulling out Ten of Swords for him.
Yeah. I'll read my cards tonight in honor.
Yeah. I want to do a tarot session with you and you can like teach me how it all works.
Oh, absolutely.
I find it so fascinating.
Oh my God, it's your birthday. Maybe I can get you a little tarot deck.
Yeah, that'll be cool. It's like I'm not fully believing, but I feel like there's part of me that absolutely is.
And sometimes you just need guidance. And if you're feeling like lost in the woods, fucking let some cards guide you. It doesn't have to be a religion. It doesn't have to be more than that.
It's almost like counseling at that point where it's just like, yes, maybe having a random card come up, be like, is there anything in your life that's making you feel stuck at the moment? Might make me then think about that thing that I haven't really been paying attention to that, I am feeling stuck about that thing and I should probably think about that. Isn't that a good thing? Even if it was not, spiritual
and
that moment.
And you don't really go, I feel like people who aren't aware of like tarot and like hand reading and like all of this stuff, they're like, it'll tell you that you're going to die on a certain day. Like, it's never that extreme. Like, I'm never going to my cards being
your
like,
mother scrubs ducks in hell.
Like, I don't want to know about that. I'm just there like, am I gonna make some money? Will this invoice be paid?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah, what's my vibe this month, that kind of
stuff. Totally. It's the same as like astrology. I only look at it when I need it. And at the moment I'm like, if anything, it's actually been quite nice, because if there's any miscommunication or if I'm like feeling drowsy or weird at the moment, I'm like, it's Mercury retrograde. And you feel it fucking instantly relaxes me, because I'm just like, all right, let's just power through. And I actually think I get more done.
Out of mind.
And the other way it works as well, like the placebo of being like, today's like I've got extra, positive vibes going for me.
Yeah.
That's a nice feeling. And if that makes me feel extra on, so what?
Living is hell.
Yeah.
Let us have these little things,
I wanted to chat with you guys about Lizzo last week. We forgot to mention where she had her like, I'm quitting.
Yes, that was so dramatic. And when I read that post, because I still follow Lizzo, I don't know. I feel like there was like a mass unfollowing when those allegations came out.
Yeah.
Oh, the fat shaming.
Oh, no. Remember how one of her dancers was like, I was going to a sex club with Lizzo watching strippers.
Yes, she like made me do it.
Yeah, like I was made to watch someone pop a ball out of their pussy.
Yeah.
And I mean, all of that already like left a sour taste in my mouth. But also I was like, I'm not gonna, innocent until proven guilty, kind of.
Well, especially with like a fat black woman that people have had like a vendetta against. Yeah. It's like we will give passes to so many people. Like what's James Marsden working on now?
Yeah, so true, right?
So it is like, if I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to a person, it'll probably be Lizzo.
Right? So I was trying to do that. So I've been seeing all of her posts and I think she's lost weight, but I don't think that makes her a bad person.
Yeah.
But a few people are upset about that. They're like, how dare you? Because she started in like the body positivity thing. But being body positive doesn't mean that you're not allowed to lose or gain weight.
Yeah.
But she made that post about like, I quit, right? And I read that and I thought maybe she's quitting Instagram. While everyone else was like, she's quitting music.
Yeah.
And I just never thought that she would.
Yeah.
But you reckon?
I reckon.
What is on purpose?
And what did she say in the end to back? She said she's quitting.
Well, that was the thing, basically. It was like a few days or a week later, she was like, and by quitting, what I meant was, I am quitting negativity.
Well, that's why I thought it was Insta, because like Instagram is such a negative space. And it'd be like, it makes sense to quit that. I'm just going to try to bring it up.
That's so funny.
And then she posted on Tumblr the other day. Oh no, she deleted her Tumblr post. Oh no.
Are you on Tumblr? Is Tumblr a thing?
Yeah, Tumblr is still around. I just don't think many people are on it. But Lizzo posted this thing where she was like, it was kind of like, what's her birth name? Melissa. She was like, little Melissa always had to stand in a corner while daddy had more important things to do. And little Melissa didn't know how to handle her. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But that was the sound of the Tumblr post that she shared on Instagram. but it's no longer there. And I wish I'd sent it to you because it was like so dramatic. But she said, my character being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this shit. I quit. That's like the last sentence of the statement. So I was like, clearly she's getting off Instagram and TikTok. But so alas,
that's not a statement that sounds like it's been proofed by PR or lawyers. All.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what's going on in there.
I mean, having that kind of like public scrutiny would just be so wild. I would totally snap at random points and be like, fuck you all, I'm quitting. And then I'd be back the next morning like, all right, I guess I'm still here, but
yeah.
That was the old me.
Well, it's so crazy how people have these really intense parasocial relationships with celebrities like Lizzo, and where it's like, well, you help me, you know, be more body positive or like leave that shit partner or whatever. And then when she does one thing wrong, it's like, you are the worst person in the world. And it's like all the things that she has quote unquote done for her fans don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. More people need to be educated on how to conduct themselves.
Yeah.
Fully.
And we're very ready as a society to like immediately tear down a woman at the slightest drop of a hat. But like, as you were saying, like when it's a man, we're like, we'll see how things track.
Yeah.
We'll keep tabs on it and we'll check back in a month. But like with a woman, it's like, oh, Lizzo's cancelled. She's done. It's over. Like, you know, it's so quick and sudden and like usually unprovoked.
Yeah. And everyone loves to, you know, be supportive of people filing lawsuits and people who are victims to workplace harassment.
Yeah.
But I do think that case has resolved out of court now.
Yeah.
I'm like 99% sure. So all of this like upheaval on like people ready to pile on and hate on Lizzo when all of this unraveled has kind of now quietly been resolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stain is still kind of on her name.
I also did watch a couple of videos of the women that were suing Lizzo. And it was kind of like, they didn't really like, there was nothing tangible in anything. It was like a lot of just like the vibe was this and the vibe was that. And like, there were questions that were like, yeah, but did she say anything to this effect or did she do anything to this effect? And they'd be like, no, it was more just like the vibe.
Yeah. Like imagine being in a tour bus with like dozens of dancers and you've like just finished a tour and everyone's like, we're going to a peep show in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, yes, you probably felt pressured to go even if that didn't align with what you actually wanted to do.
Yeah. Also, in Amsterdam, that's probably a family bar. You know what I mean? Like the standard of like sex there.
Exactly. It's an elephant and wheelbarrow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, this is the most G-rated place that we could have our dinner. Like,
and then it's like, well, yeah, I get that. But also, does that mean you have to take her to court?
And it was just kind of like, they were saying stuff like, I felt like there was the implication that if I didn't go to events with her, that I wouldn't advance in my career sort of thing. And it's like, I wouldn't be in her good books. It's like, are you just talking about friendship? Like, it's like, what? She might like me more as a person if I hang out with her.
Mm. Yeah. And then it's also like, you have to let go of the illusion of a career.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's hanging by that smaller thread,
then that's not, there's no career here, honey.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Speaking of no career, I'm like, literally, I don't even know what I'm segueing to. I'm just like looking at the list, like, well, being like, is there anyone that I can
I
roast?
I actually have somebody who potentially has no career.
Tell me.
I'm so sorry. It's so mean. But Gypsy Rose.
Oh. Well.
I'm sorry to say she has no career.
I mean that is a fact.
She's like, taking a pause from her engagements, both work and marriage. And she's got a rhinoplasty.
Yeah.
So we'll see. She also got a new boyfriend and a tattoo.
Already?
Yeah, they just got a little tattoo together and she's having a little smoke. Guys, she didn't have a normal fucking life. She's got to do some weird shit.
Yeah, that's so true.
But it kind of, I don't know, like, I agree, but it does kind of remind me of this, like, thing I saw on Twitter of, like, when are we as gays going to accept that, like, we can only use the delayed adolescence excuse for so long?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
At some point, you have to be true. Like, you're a 35-year-old cum dump. You need to be like, you know, like, where does the line stop? You know, where
it's just kind 33.
Of, like, yeah, we're going to give Gypsy Rose a lot of leeway. She can do what she needs because, you know, she spent a lot of her life in prison and with really fucked circumstances. So go off, you know, have your fun. But some of the stuff is still crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it is also like, we stand these girls, but if we're gonna stand them, we have to stand every aspect of them.
Yeah.
We can't just pick her saying funny shit.
Yeah.
We have to be like, she's a full complicated person who had a fucking weird life and now she's out and about and she's stunted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I truly just wish her the best.
I do too. Yeah. I think she'll be fine. I think it's just kind of like the natural influx period coming out of prison. Of course she's going to be everywhere and scrutinized and then it'll settle into like a...
I can't believe that we are alive at the same time that Gypsy Rose is out of prison and JoJo's having a crisis.
Yeah. I also saw an interview with Honey Boo Boo, who's like seeking emancipation from Pumpkin.
Sorry, how old...
From Pumpkin? What did Pumpkin do?
How is Honey Boo Boo not 18 yet?
Well, she's supposed to be going to college, but her mum, Mama June, they just found out that she's swindled. Oh,
is Pumpkin not her mother?
No, no, no. Pumpkin's her older sister. Pumpkin's the one who's been looking after her.
Oh. Well, then I'm thinking of Mama June.
Well, yeah, because...
I thought that was Mama like June the nickname sank. For her mum.
They worked out that Mama June has sank at least... In the calculations, it would be millions of dollars, but it's all gone and she's got nothing to show for it. Like, she has...
So how is Honey Boo Boo famous again?
She was on Toddlers and Tiaras and she was an iconic, beautiful little child
okay.
who said, I got a pig called Glitzy. He's gay. Everybody's a little bit gay. Yeah. And she's like, I have my special drink before I go on stage. And it's just like Mountain Dew and sugar. Like, her mum puts sugar in Mountain Dew. And then, of course, she was like 3 years old. So she's fucking off it. But she is... so gorgeous in this episode and so funny. And then of course they have a show called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo and it's about her family. And it really shot them into, like, they were living in poverty and it shot them into stardom. And Mama June had a lot of bad relationships before the show that popped back up, and a very abusive guy who ended up back in her life. So her daughters cut her off for a while. Fair enough. I don't think Mama June's a great person. She's also very much in the throes of addiction all the time. But those girls are incredible. And what were their names? Pumpkin, Honey Boo Boo, Chubbs. And yeah,
and Damien.
Oh my god, those are all nicknames Chubbs. For my dog.
Yeah.
And Chickadee, who was the oldest. And Chickadee, these aren't their Christian names.
Yeah. They're cute nicknames.
Saint Chickadee.
But this has all kind of come to light because Chickadee passed away. She had cancer, and it sort of brought Mama June back into their lives. Oh. And they've got this show happening again, and they're back in the limelight. And Honey Boo Boo and Pumpkin are incredible. I think they are so mature. They've clearly found each other. I love this family. I'm so sorry. I just love these girls. I care about them. But they clearly have found like a camaraderie with one another. And they're so mature because they had to raise themselves. And Pumpkin was basically raising Honey Boo Boo. And it's incredibly heartbreaking but powerful to see them just cornering Mama June and being like, where the hell is the money?
Mm-hmm.
And she has nothing to say because it's just gone.
That's
and it's
sad.
Not coming
and
back.
And Honey Boo Boo wants to use it so she can go to college and do nursing.
Oh, my God. That breaks my heart. At this point, can't,
like, producers just throw money at it and, like, pay for her to go to college and,
I
like,
hope so.
Film well, her yeah. having her, like, college years or some shit like that. Like, someone give her a scholarship. There's got to be a workaround, like.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like all child stars should get scholarships so that
there
they
should
can
be
just...
an abused child star scholarship.
Fund.
Yeah. Like,
I will donate to that charity.
Todrick's Hall School of GoFundMe children.
Do you just want a normal life, Grant? Please, blessed children. Is it time for our pop or flop?
Let's do it.
So I have a flop for this week, and it's kind of the Australian music scene, I guess, because Splendour in the Grass has just recently been cancelled after they announced that Kylie was going to be a headliner.
I know.
And I was really excited for that because I was hoping that I would be able to go and see Kylie, and like I haven't been to like a night overnight festival ever.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to go to Splendour, and I was like, okay, every year it's just been like, it's too expensive, I have too many other things going on. And it looks like this year that was just everyone's story because I don't think they're sold very well, and so it's been cancelled. But there's also been a lot of criticism because festivals and lineups aren't what they used to be like, and festival organizers try to have like an act for everyone, so then it's kind of for no one. And it just kind of makes me sad for all the up and coming like Australian musicians who were probably excited to play their first big festival. And that's not going to happen. And also having fewer international acts here is kind of sucky because like it's a long, cold winter and I would love to see a show.
Yeah, totally.
It's devastating. It's truly devastating. It's really what's happening to the music scene in Australia. And Groove in the Moo was cancelled too, is a rural
That was
all
my
ages.
One and only festival that I've been to.
Oh my God. And then even with the festivals that have been on, there's been such craziness with like fire.
Yeah. Pitch Festival, they had the CFA was like, you shouldn't run this. And they had to wait until a certain... It's all just like insurance stuff as well, I'm sure. But I just don't think they've been able to come back from the pandemic.
No.
And it's harder to get internationals over here. So we're struggling to get these big names. And I think we just need to go see, again, expensive, but... If you have a choice between seeing a movie for like $25 or going to see someone at the Thornbury local, like, go do that.
Well, some people were saying like, if you had bought a ticket or were going to buy a ticket, maybe now put that money towards doing exactly that. Go see some stuff nearby you. Like, don't let that sense of wanting to be a part of the music scene just drop away because you can't go to that festival.
That's so true.
But I also watched an interview with, I think it was like the director of Blues Fest. And he which is going ahead, but like he was just sort of like commenting on like festival culture in general. He was a bit of an odd man, to be honest.
Oh my God, Blues Fest is actually
allegedly
probo. Yeah.
Well, this interview gave that vibe. This man was genuinely kind of almost dancing on Splendor's grave, being like, well, we're the like top rated festival for these reasons, so we don't have that problem.
And you know what the reasons are? They only have men on their lineup, A, and B, their target demographic is cashed up Gen X and Boomers?
Yep.
Absolutely. That is 100% true. Plus you add on the like not post-COVID, because COVID is very much a present reality, especially in comedy festival right now where it is rampant as usual. But in these different times, like people are buying, if they buy at all, very late in the game because they don't want to buy something months out and then find out that they're sick or they've got something come up. Like it really is much more touch and go these days. And for festivals that are this huge and have to sort of function on a like year round basis and like as soon as it finishes, they basically go into planning for the next year. That's very scary for the festival runners because they don't have any kind of guarantee that they're gonna make good on their their stuff. So I completely see how they're in such a sticky situation. It's just sad for the Aussie industry, which is already notoriously small. Like now it's even so harder.
Let's save our money and go to Coachella.
My pop this week is Andrew Scott, just in general, always love him. But I am particularly obsessed with him getting interviewed on the red carpet. And somebody, I can't even remember what the interviewer said, something about Fleabag, something about The Priest. And full disclosure, I have not seen Fleabag.
Oh my God, stop the episode.
Jordan.
What
do you mean?
I've seen the play. So I watched a couple episodes of the first season, but then I watched the play and I was like, I really like that.
Jordan, oh my God, I have goosebumps. Jordan.
I'm throwing up.
And then I did watch like the first two episodes.
Season two is even better.
I did watch the first two episodes, but then I think I'm my Amazon Prime.
I'm sick of the excuses. I'm sick of the excuses.
I'm signing up for you. I'm making you an account.
I've torrented it. I can send it to you as a file.
I have an Amazon Prime account and I have had it for about a year now, but I still just haven't come back to it. And I think because it's been so amped up and I'm like, I know I'll love it. And I did love it. I did watch the first two episodes and I did actually, I think one episode, but I did really enjoy it. And I know I have to watch it. But to be fair, it's because people are fucking psycho about this show.
Right now. Losing our shit. No, but it is
great.
It is great. And it's a really quick watch as well. It's not like when somebody's like, watch Succession and it's 25 hours.
I think I'm less like shocked that you haven't seen it than I am that it's such a you thing.
I know.
Yeah, it's like, so you.
I just know that you will adore it.
Yeah. And I did. I saw the one woman play the live recording.
I've seen that. That's amazing.
And it's amazing. And I loved it. But Andrew Scott has a pretty funny response when someone asks a question about The Priest. And he's just like, I think everybody just needs to go outside a bit or like get out of that world. Stop being so obsessed with The Priest. And I'm like, Fair enough. And it's this parasocial thing as well, where it's like, we love it, absolutely. But I hope, because he probably has some freaky fans, but sincerely being like, I hope you have something else happening.
Yeah.
In your life.
But also, I can have a million things happening and still think about Fleabag and a priest.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Well,
someone also asked him on the, because he was in that movie with, what's his name? The runner boy.
Mescal.
Paul Mescal. Yeah.
All of Us Strangers. And someone was asking something about, like, it was just sort of really inappropriate question about, like, sexuality on set or something like that.
Was it a gay movie?
Yeah, but it was not even, like, in the context of the questioning, even in the realm of appropriateness. And Andrew Scott is just kind of like, he just completely, like, blanks and, like, is just kind of like, I'm not going to, like, he just walks away, basically, because he's like, I'm just not going to be a part of this. But interviewers can just ask such weird questions. I'll do a pop this week. I suppose I can just roll off the back of that, because Andrew's response there being like, I think they need to get out of that world, kind of remind me of Miriam Margolyes the other week when she was here in Melbourne. She was on the project and she was talking about, like, Harry Potter fans. And she's like, I think they need to get over it.
I love her. Just
get over it. And then she also had, she like outwardly was like, I support Palestine. And like, I think that's important to talk about. And it's kind of like, I feel like in the like nighttime media circuit at the moment in Australia, it's like probably one of the first times where someone has just actually said that.
Yeah.
I thought that was very cool. And then also I heard that she is notorious for farting. And makes no excuses for it. And
damn,
will just like,
I'm trying to be like her, but my farts are too lethal.
I just love the idea, because I think she's like, she's quite old.
She's in her 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's still like, I don't know, just to be kind of like down with it and cool and like, funny. You know, farting her way around. Yeah. She's like, free Palestine. Yeah. Yes, I fart.
Well, especially in your 80s.
Fuck the police.
You don't know.
Yeah. She's braver than most of us. Yeah. Love that.
And like, I have heard some stuff, I'm pretty sure, where she was sort of clunkily talking about something to do with trans issues. And people were like, oh, is she a TERF or is she transphobic? And I don't think that she is.
She's not.
She's not?
She's absolutely not. Yeah.
Because I think it's that thing where it's just, it's such a generational shift. It's like, she probably is going to talk about these things in a very, like, matter of a fact way. She won't use the terminology that we're used to, but that doesn't mean that it's hateful.
She has a show, I think, on maybe Netflix that I watched part of, where she's going to different places and learning about culture, and it's all kind of related to gender diversity, being queer and stuff. And she's talking to some First Nations folk, I don't know where, but they have sister boys. She's talking to a few of them and she's saying something like, well, you should like shave your beard. And they're like, no, that's not how it works. And they explain it to her, and then she's like, okay, I understand now. What you're saying is, me focusing on this external stuff has nothing to do with who you actually are. And she's like explaining what they've just kind of taught her in a really like simple, easy to understand way for anyone's parents or grandparents. Yeah. And it really does show that she understands and that she's on support. And anything that she says, that, you know how you'll see news and it's like, so-and-so was transphobic. Yep. And it would take that 1 second of her saying something slightly ignorant.
Yes.
But her saying that actually serves the purpose of teaching people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you can't ask that show.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happened on this episode, because she says, like, the way that she got onto talking about Palestine is she was talking about people of different ethnicities. And then she asks, like, in a very out-of-pocket way, Waleed, she was like, well, you're a brown person. Where are you from? And like, I think she's just genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But people immediately are like, oh my God, she's racist and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, she's trying to begin a discussion about, you know.
Because people don't know how to have conversations anymore.
Yeah.
They're just like not realizing that sometimes you have to ask those questions in order to clarify where somebody stands. And that's a good thing.
Totally. And sometimes I think people police their own language or are so scared of asking people questions or pointing out identity where it's relevant because they're scared of being cancelled or being considered racist or immoral rather than actually trying to learn and trying to do the good thing.
Yeah.
So you'll see them sort of tripping over. Like I see it, I call it the coward they.
Yeah.
When people use they, them pronouns. I get they, them pronouns a lot in people sharing. Yeah. And it's like, that's not respecting pronouns. That's not.
Yeah,
and it's
like, I just ask.
Yeah. And it's also, it's there. It's in my email sign off. It's in my Instagram. And I don't really have the words to articulate. I was talking to a friend who was actually really good at articulating why that is also just like disrespectful of people who choose to have they, she, they, yeah, they, them pronouns, because it's just a wash. Yeah. Rather than acknowledging, no,
it's a genuine identity that I embody and I feel at home in. It's kind of like, oh, everyone likes this. And it's like, well, no, that's not true. Some people are like, no, I vibe with this.
Yeah.
I vibe with that.
It's wild. If I had the words to articulate why I think it's wrong, I would. But simply don't. But
Maybe next week.
Stay tuned. Thank you for listening.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.